Want me to start? I actually put that question in my phone. If you guys don't mind, I can start. So my first question is, since I started my spiritual journey, and since when I wasn't even in this journey, I feel like a huge need for me to help others. Now I understand. Is my wound, is the hurt child and inside of me, and I started creating boundaries, and it has helped. But deep inside of me, it's like I trust everyone. I think like there's not bad energy, so bad people out there, and I still feel that need to help others. I know putting myself out there as a spiritual guide or light worker can be being this sensitive, because I'm extremely sensitive. Putting myself out there would be a good path to take, or I maybe just live my life and not trying to help others.
Okay. But I heard you saying in the beginning that you recognize that the urge, the desire to help other people is also connected with your survival mechanism to, yes, so yeah, okay. Okay, so I'm channeling Yeshua now. It's very important that you stand on your own two feet, meaning that you are fully grounded and aware of your needs first. You can only start to help other people when you are able to take care of yourself and consider your own needs to be just as important as another person's needs. Needs. So there is a kind of, there's a gentleness and sensitivity in your heart, and this gentleness also enables you to easily tune into other people's feelings and energies, but you can also get lost in it. Get lost in it, meaning that you are, that when your heart is too open, so to speak, you merge with someone else's energy, and then you get lost because your sense of boundaries, you start to forget about your own needs. And this is the part where you are very aware already that when you do this, it's partly because you are wounded in helping others and feeling this sense of connectedness with them. You are trying to heal a pain inside, the pain of feeling alone, feeling abandoned, feeling cut off. So, but when you are trying to heal yourself by connecting with someone else, and it happens unconsciously, and that's by definition, survival mechanisms are unconscious. Then, when you get drawn in too much, you start to lose yourself. And I started by saying you really have to stand firmly on your own two feet. By that, I mean when you merge too much with someone else, you're literally, your energy goes upward. So you lose touch with your feet and your grounding, and then you give too much, but also the giving could get unbalanced because when you truly want to help someone else, they have to start taking their own responsibility for their own lives. And giving too much, usually when people give too much, they want to help carry other people's burdens, and this is not right for the giver, but also not right for the receiver of this energy, because they need to truly connect with their own power and create their own healing. So your question is about whether it's a good idea to pursue to become a healer of some kind. And I started by saying you first have to be really grounded, centered, and put your own needs first, and to recognize how this feels, how it feels to really be in touch with your own needs and to stay in touch, even when you are, for example, talking with someone, connecting with someone. So to it's like an exercise. You can and not feel that you are selfish when you do this, to find this balance. So as soon as you find this balance, then you are in fact healing this wound. You are not trying to merge with anyone anymore because of this inner pain. No, you know that you can take care of yourself, but it still is joyful to connect with other people. It's very natural. And so when the inner wound is healed, there very likely is an ability in you to help people in the sense of being able to connect with them, offer them really a space of in which they feel free to be themselves, no judgment, very very care you can be very caring. And so sure, you have this ability, and but much depends on whether you first resolve this issue of what you yourself call boundaries. And you have already been working on this issue, but you have to do it more strongly, to the point that you think, but oh, wow, if I have such strong boundaries, I feel really alone and also selfish. But that's not really the case. You need to have such strong boundaries, especially if you want to become a healer. Yeah. Is that clear? That doesn't make sense to you?
It's kind of like I know, I have an idea. My gut kind of tells me where this goes, but listening it from Jeshua is just beautiful. And thank you
Okay.
so much. Thank you.
Okay, someone else?
I can go.
Sure, yeah.
Hello, Yeshua, and thank you for being with us. I love you. I've been told by two mediums that I'm a descendant of Jesus. Could you please help me understand what this means and how I'm supposed to integrate this into my current time and space reality?
Okay, so by descendant, you mean that there's somehow a biological line across history? Or do you
Yes.
mean that? Okay.
Gabriel has brought forth the A negative bloodline, which I indeed am, and there was some significance there.
So, you are closely connected with me and with the Christ energy, and But the strongest connection is always on the soul level. And biological connections are not that important. When you are reborn in any incarnation, you enter a different bloodline and carry some energies there of ancestors. But in essence, you are free. Your soul is free. And for most souls, it's important to break free from their biological or their family energy heritage. So the usual pattern of evolving for a soul is to recognize its own unique individuality and release the family energy that doesn't belong to the soul. And so I'm not really I don't really like to go into biological lines or inheritance, because it's far more important to recognize the soul family connections. And you have a strong connection with the Christ energy. And I also need to say that although I was at one point in time a particular human being on Earth, who I am is much bigger than just this person who you call Yeshua or Jesus. I am now here to represent a huge field of consciousness, which is not limited to any one person. So and this universal field is much more important than who I physically was on Earth. And I'm actually here not even speaking as a person to you. It's actually all you. We are here now in a small group. You are all speaking. You are all part of this energy field, this Christ energy. And I'd like to tell you in particular that you have in several lifetimes embodied or channeled the Christ energy, and the energy of non-judgment, compassion, and also have been deeply misunderstood several times. And have carried wounds of separation, feeling isolated or rejected from communities. And there is the wound inside you is that you yearn to be recognized, to be seen, to be understood. And you have, on the one hand, a kind of distrust towards like the communities or groups and ideologies which hold these communities together, but you feel like an outsider, and to some extent that's okay with you, but you also do yearn for connection and being seen or being connected with like-minded souls, with soulmates. Before I continue, can you relate to what I'm saying?
Yes, Yeshua, thank you.
What would you say that your wound or this survival mechanism is?
Hiding away and closing down in my own private world and not wanting to talk to anybody. because of being not able to fit into society or family or friend circles values.
So the wound, is it loneliness?
Yes.
Yes. There's loneliness inside you, but there's also a anger which is coming from, is old from other lives as well, because how, because you strongly resist false authorities, and you cannot, and there's anger inside you both about these authorities, which it could be worldly or religious, but also anger about people blindly following them. So, but the anger itself, there's a need spiritually, there's a need there to forgive others, meaning that you understand that they are reacting from fear. And if you would forgive or understand them, then it would make it easier to connect with people on a deeper level, and also to accept that people are not, people are always a mixture. They are, there is both fear and fear-based consciousness in them, but there's also in most people a higher awareness, a heart-based awareness, and it's a challenge, but it is possible to live with both. So you can be deeply connect with someone, and but when they slide back into fear-based consciousness, and all people do at some point, and it goes, it changes all the time, and then you can just cherish the higher connection and let go of the lower energies. So it's not a black and white thing. You are now isolating yourself more than necessary. Is that clear?
Yes, I understand it all. Thank you, Yeshua.
Okay. Okay, let's go to move to the next question.
Okay, I will go. So the reason I moved to Montana 10 years ago was to be with my husband, Steve. Steve was an American. He ran the company Alaskan Essences, making flower essences. I was familiar with flower essences. Our time together here didn't last very long. He passed away of cancer. And so that was within 2 years. And I decided to stay and to continue his work making flower essences. I've always felt a little conflicted about that moment, because I thought we were going to live happily ever after, and that ended after 2 years. And so I. Yeah, conflicted. So it has felt a little bit like a trap, like almost like a yeah, like a trap, like a setup from the universe. You come here, and then this man can leave the planet, and you can go run his life's work. You can do that. I've been doing that now for 8 years, I love what we do. I love teaching about flower essences. I love making flower essences, going to Alaska, talking to the trees, the flowers, the plants. But I still feel conflicted. Is this really my path? Am I just living, fulfilling a promise? Am I on track? If I'm supposed to be doing this, why isn't it easier? You know, that's a very egoic question. I would just like to have some insights because I feel that I cannot get to certain insights that might be helpful.
And why is it not easy?
I would say the being an employer, I work with people and I don't really like people. It's only four staff members, but even just one can make your life pretty difficult. And just the business side of things. If I could teach and make essences all the time, I would be in bliss, but that's only 10% of my time.
Okay. It's clear. Okay, can I ask you, do you still feel connected with Steve?
That's also a little bit conflicted. I think part yes, part I think honestly there might be a little bit of resentment. It's like, oh well, yeah, you got to leave this planet. That's nice to leave me with all your stuff. I also knew that we were soulmates. There was such feeling of homecoming with each other, and I cannot believe it only lasted so short.
So, okay, I'm channeling Yesha now. So Steve also felt resentful about dying. It was not that he wanted to leave. He felt resentful. He wanted to finish this job, and he wanted to spend his life with you. So he had a hard time letting go of that life. And because there's still a part of his energy remained there, so to speak, was what you could say earthbound. And you felt this. And it felt on the one hand like a burden to you, and on the other hand you wanted to fulfill this promise. And so it's a bit complicated because there's also a past life. You knew each other before this lifetime. And in this past life, you were his mother. And in that past life as his mother, you also felt drawn to healing or alternative medicine, this kind of working with energies. And he was very attached to you as a child. He was your son, but he was so attached to you that it was hard to let go when he was a teenager. You both had trouble letting go of each other, and at some point there were some conflicts between you because you felt that you felt lonely without him, and he felt he didn't want to be, he wanted to be loyal to you, but he also wanted to break free and live his own life when he was getting older. And so it ended with a kind of conflict. So energetically, you became opposed to each other, but underlying there was this really strong kinship and love. So there was, in a way, a too strong attachment, and it was hard to break free from it. And so he left, felt regret, felt remorse. And in this lifetime, you met again, and you felt this the pure love and feeling like-minded, feeling that you are on the soul level, kind of in the you are in the same stage of the soul's journey. But for you, your mission is to let go of too strong loyalty and too strong connection and to pursue your own path. And in you describe yourself as being conflicted about it, but he's also conflicted about it. In a way, still is. No, issues not re not completely resolved, even though he's on the other side. And he is aware that you need to let go of each other. And the love will still be there, but there's a some kind of part of the attachment is too much. It can be stifling. And what you need to do is to firmly determine what you want to do in life. So anything that you do because you feel obligated to fulfill a promise you made to him or with him, you should let that go and feel what really gives you joy. And if it means that you focus only on the flower essences and let go of the stuff, or it's you cannot do this all at once, but you should really take seriously these emotional signs that you are getting, that this the feeling that you are not doing what you truly love doing. Is that clear so far?
Yeah, I think over the last year, maybe, I'm starting to think about indeed, like, what is it that I really want? And I've already started doing things differently than Steve used to do. I know that he was always overwhelmed with running the business. He was always tired. He was always overwhelmed. And I never understood. And then now I'm in his shoes and I'm like, I get your overwhelm. I get your fatigue. I feel the same way. I think on some deep level, it kind of came to the surface, like, indeed, do it because you really want to, and give yourself permission to maybe make another decision. And maybe that piece of freedom might give clarity, and then I might still continue or not. But it has to do with giving, well, what you said.
But most important is that this ambiguous connection with Steve, this is really the first step. This is the most important because the whole business is connected with this. And to see that it's possible to love someone, but at the same time that the energies may get too merged too strongly so that you're not free anymore.
I feel that on, and I know got this insight in Alaska this time, that there was never a good finish up with Steve, because if a good finish up would be letting go in freedom, and there should not be any feeling of resentment left, and I realize, like, oh God, we never really, or I never really, there's something still there, and I'm just resisting going there because of course I'm too busy. But I think that's true, that it starts there.
Yeah, I just hear Yeshua saying that it's in your own hands. It does, it's your decision. What you do, how you manage this relation is independent of how he responds to it. This is your decision. There's no obligation on your part to do anything. And even he, when he is in his own heart-based high frequency, he knows it. He wants to set you free. He doesn't want you. There's no claim there. Okay.
Right, thank you.
Isabel.
Yeah, I guess it's my turn. I already got our emotion and with the other questions. My question is mainly how to continue my heart journey. I started when I went to Egypt with you, the message from Yeshua about being in touch with my male energy,
What being what?
being in touch with my male energy,
Okay.
might probably connect with my male energy, was so powerful. And the beauty of that message, the way it came to me, was I didn't feel like had to do something this time, like I always feel like doing, and not because behind that was like I'm not enough, so I had to do. So this time was so, the way I received it was so peaceful, so I felt somehow I'm doing it, but by not doing it. So I feel it opened a big door for me in my journey to my heart. And but I also feel, since my question was related to my career future, maybe I missed a point there. So I focus too much on my career future, what I will do, which I'm applying jobs. I feel I'm more clear about it because finally I'm knowing what I really want, which was so hard to know. So now my question is, how should I continue in this heart journey in general? How I really would like to have some advice. I don't know if I still have to be aware of connecting with my male energy, or is something else I should be more aware of?
So you say you now know what you want to do in the area of work.
Not 100%, but better than before. I feel I have some clues. I feel I want to work with women in the environmental field somehow, with communities. I want to connect with others. I don't want to be that alone. I feel I have been so alone for so long, being afraid of being in the world. And I feel stronger now to be with others.
Most important is that when you are with others, that you truly channel your own voice, your own wisdom to others, because that's what you're really looking for. You can feel lonely and disconnected, and then you might think, okay, I just need to be with people who understand me, who are on the same frequency. But the clue, the first step is that you allow your own frequency to come through, and is also means in communicating with people. And if you speak from your heart, so you're not trying to just understand people or please them or This energy of empathy and understanding people can turn against you if you don't stay true to what you feel and what you want to express to them. So when so there is a kind of energy flow that wants to come through you, and it's you could use the word channeling for it. It's just that you can tune into a level of wisdom which is coming, which comes can come from a guide or your higher self or a mixture of both. And when you are in this flow, then you will feel a connection which is so fulfilling and powerful. Then the connection with other people is really only relatively important compared to it. It's very nice and joyful to feel this connection, but what you are really yearning for is to connect with this soulful, this flow of your own inner wisdom. Do you understand?
Yes, it's beautiful because I feel it's directly connected to what he said in the first answer, kind of. I lose myself in others because I can feel others people's needs or energy, and is I don't know, somehow now I finally understand what he means by I was listening one of your channels of Joshua, like the center of the sun. And I feel his answer is like, go to the center of your sun when you connect with others. I feel it's kind of, I understand it differently now. Probably I'm integrating it better.
You could say that in general, right? That the heart has a kind of feminine aspect which helps us to tune into other people, feel their emotions, connect with them, understand them without judgment and everything. But that's not enough because if you the heart energy also has a masculine aspect which enables you to stay tuned into this flow, not just this but the vertical flow, and staying really true to what wants to come through. So that you are not just so maybe 50% is focused on the other people, but the other 50% needs to really stay home and stay in touch with your own unique soul energy. And I somehow feel that this is what you truly long for. Because when you are in touch with your own soul's energy, you feel just blissful or peaceful at least. And connecting with other people is like an extra, it also happens more easily because then you attract the people who fit with this flow. But it's what happens next. The first step is to connect with with your own heart.
And the way I'm doing it is fine. The way I feel I'm doing this connection with my own soul.
Well, what I feel, Yeshua was saying is that when you feel this urge of I have to go out and connect with people or work with women, that you may be looking at too much on the outside to reach this goal, and maybe it's also it's necessary to just spend time by yourself. I don't know what's your preference, but for example, in nature or wherever you feel really feel your own energy. So to go within and perhaps you could also write down any messages that you feel to give some focus to this connection. Because sometimes when you look for higher guidance, I mean, it applies to everyone, and you just sit down and it's like, okay, come higher guidance, but then it's kind of blurry, it's not focused. If you have certain question in mind, it often can help to receive a specific answer, and writing it down can also be really helpful, because then you receive an answer and then you could think, oh, but I don't completely understand, I have another question. So it's like really having a conversation with whatever is there, a higher energy, a guide, Yesha, whoever. So this reinforces the connection with yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take a 5-minute break and then we will continue.
Yep. Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Please. As calm as I am, there's still something deep in it. And I think, Buffy, I can feel that sometimes. I don't mean to complain about a lot of stuff out there and kind of make you find some type of energy. And you say, because I'm a master and I know what this is about and it's a way for me to joke about it. go beyond that puppy. I kind of felt the puppy, to be honest. And now that I'm listening from her, yeah, as you're calm, you're fine. But then the need for you kind of criticize situations sometimes is a type of anger. Just so said. You know, I kind of mentioned that to you a few times. And then, no, I do it just because probably the ego was speaking through you. But that's beautiful, puppy. Like, you wait to be explained somehow. Your cries, consciousness, profound. I think that's just beautiful.
Yeah, that's
It's not the first time in your lifetime that you're working with this energy. So many lives to think with this energy. Wow.
And trying to bring it forth, but I misunderstood. That comes up to me. I get angry because I'm not accepted, because no one hears the message.
And because it's so deep, Papa, because at the end, you know, that doesn't really matter. And who gets that? Nobody.
But I'm still
And that's
frustrated.
frustrating for you.
For me, yes. Not for other people. Yes. I don't really call my energy about that.
Well,
But
she looks
sugar.
at you, and she looks at you. I literally feel just their eyes. It's just like, when she makes that time with the camera, it's like, hey,
she's got a very strong presence, though. She means what she says. That's what I mean.
Have no faith.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. Hi.
Can I say something?
Yeah, you can say something, yeah.
Yeah. I want to thank Isabel and Judy and Calvin for sharing their questions. I know they're very personal, but I also feel very touched by those. Like they I felt like a deep inside there were questions that eventually I will ask myself, or I already did. So thank you. Each one of you.
Thank you. Okay, let's start the second Q&A. Who would like, we can go in the same order or different, doesn't matter. Who would like to go first?
Bro, probably I'm more fresh.
Yeah.
If you guys agree.
Sure,
Okay,
go
thank
ahead.
you. Thank you, thank you. So, my second question, you know, I wanted to be like very specific about my question. So, you know, I kind of prepared this for like a 2 months. So, where is the point where I can make the difference between being a creator and being a master? You get out there what you create, you face there what you create, but a master doesn't really care about what others think. There's any fine line between those two that me just speaking my truth. We not need to prove anyone anything, but I know my truth can hurt a lot of people. So I should be aware at some point how I say things of from the creating part is because there's a part of me that is still needs to learn something from what I'm creating. Does it make sense?
Partly. Okay, when you draw a distinction between creator and master, yeah, it's not entirely clear to me because a master is almost fully aware, so he or she will create automatically what is the most joyful and to experience, right? I mean, we are all creators, whatever, if we can create very unconsciously or consciously, so we are automatically all creators. So, but it depends a bit on the definition. But you said something else, like you also said, like if I truly say what I think and feel, or then I may hurt people.
That's the feeling. That's the
Yeah,
feeling.
like if you're really honest, then you they could be hurt.
It
So
still triggers me the idea of maybe my truth can be so deep that nobody understands it, but I
yeah.
should allow myself to speak my truth.
Yeah, so I would like to go into this. Maybe we can go back to this other point later. Okay, so I channel Yeshua now. So there is a kind of wisdom inside of you, and at the same time, there's a lot of compassion you have towards other people. And but right now, because you're still working on this wound that we talked before, these two can lead a separate life. Like there's this wisdom, like you really know things, but you also have this compassion and you don't want to hurt people's feelings and you don't want them to feel somehow offended by what you say. And then you get the feeling that you have to hold back this knowingness, this wisdom, because you don't want to hurt people. But when you are more clear about your boundaries and not giving too much, then you can have your wisdom, you can feel it, but you can tune into other people and just know what to tell, what to say to them and what not to say. Because sometimes you may know something, but it's just not useful to say to other people, either because they don't understand, and there will not be a powerful or joyful dynamics between the two of you when you say it. So when you are at home with yourself, when you are balanced with this giving and receiving flow, then it doesn't mean you will just say anything to people because you feel it's true. You will use this gift of empathy. You will use it to tune into others and feel what is appropriate to say. And if you decide not to say certain things, it will not feel like you are suppressing yourself. It will feel like it's your choice to only share part of what you feel. Is that clear?
Yeah, it's just even I get triggered by others, or well, sometimes with Calvin, because he speaks his truth for the most part. And we agree that is not speaking your truth, it's just the way you say it. And I'm totally agree. But and then when he's just being so himself so much, which is fine. I sometimes I'm like, oh my God, this person is gonna be like mad about it, or you know, like I get triggered how people are gonna react, and I should care or I shouldn't care, even if he's saying it in a nice way.
This question is really about boundaries. So yeah, it's okay to say no. That's the shortest way to summarize it. Sometimes you feel that you need to put up a boundary. And of course, people can be offended by it, but that's really their business. That's really up to them to solve this psychologically inside. You don't have to take care of how other people feel when you say no or tell them that you don't like certain things, don't want certain things, or that you're leaving, or so you're not responsible for what they feel. If you feel true about this, that this is how you feel, this is what you want, then you should truly feel free and let other people process their own emotions about that. Is that, you understand?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
It's just probably this empathy or worrying about people that I've been carrying my whole life. It's that.
Worry.
I don't wanna hurt people. I don't wanna make people uncomfortable. And I've been putting boundaries, but and then there's still situations out there that trigger me. And now I should I care or should I should not? And Calvin, in a good way, he doesn't care. And it's with him because, you know, we both get to go deep on this as much as we want. And we can talk about this for hours. And yeah, he's my mirror. I'm his mirror. So I do learn a lot about him. And for Calvin, it's just so easy to be him in all situations, all environments with everyone. That is very inspiring. But in there's certain things that I'm like,
Yeah. So, you know, in the beginning, in the first question, we talked about that the wounded part of you would like to feel so close to someone else, almost like merging, because then the wound seems to be dissolved, even for just for some moments. And this, but in any mature relationship, there will be moments of strong connection and that can be blissful, but there will also inevitably be moments of misunderstanding and the need to completely like withdraw in your own world, which is very okay. It's not a sign of that there's something wrong in itself. That's not a sign of something being wrong with the relation that you have or the friendship with someone, but to live with this. With both, that you can be connected and disconnected, and that you each have to solve your own issues. This is very important to accept as part of a mature relationship. And the inner child would like to always feel close and connected with someone. But this is a kind of dream that it doesn't help you to grow and evolve. And to live with the pain of sometimes feeling disconnected, this will help you to see that even that you will that you can take care of yourself while having this pain. Is that Do you understand?
Yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't want to get too personal, but I've gone through a lot. Like, wow, that I'm impressed about all these things that I've gone through, all these things that I created in order for me to learn. There's a part of me that still loves deeply, it still feels connected to the universe. I still believe deeply that, you know, there was a purpose, and now I see it. And there's some type of synchronicity going on in my life that is, you know, It's insane how easy things are coming to me now, but I never received that type of love or that type of, because there was always a struggle. There was always something that I needed to do. There was extra hours of working in order for me to get something. Now it's coming to me easy, and sometimes it's even easy. It's hard for me to accept that type of energy, but I'm learning to accept that. So it's just me. I don't know if there's a part of me that is still hurt, or it's just the empathy or the compassion that is naturally in me. So it puts me like in the middle, and sometimes I just don't know which way to go.
Okay. Yeah, I hear Yeshua say something. He says it's okay to be angry. How do you what these words, what how do you feel about it? When he it's okay to be angry.
Yeah, I guess it's okay.
It's like you somehow not allow it seems that somehow you think that's not okay.
It might be.
He says it's just some can be very healing sometimes to, for example, some things happen to you or people, things that people said or did to you, and you just feel like very angry about it and hurt at the same time. And just to let that be. Don't force yourself to feel peaceful or compassionate or forgiving. Just let that anger be. Because this anger can also be very grounding. Like that, you don't always have to understand everything that someone else does to you. Right? If you are too much of an empath, you can be so, always see things from
Available.
their perspective, and then you cannot really feel your own anger, which is a natural response to some actions that some things that happen. And so it's like Yeshua saying, it's okay, just be angry and use this anger to because anger is like it's a fire, it's an energy. You don't feeling it doesn't mean that you become aggressive to someone else, just that you allow this energy to be there, and it can also be turned into something creative.
Yeah.
It's also like it would nurture your masculine energy if you allow yourself sometimes to just be angry.
Yeah,
That's
and I
a
think
very
this test is one with my family, because I actually, but with my family, because we all went through a lot. With my family, it's hard to be angry. It's hard to put boundaries. It's hard to, and I'm getting there. And there's some family members that just walk away. I literally just talk to my mom now. And yeah, but I know it's been my thing. I don't, anything can happen out there, but not with my family. And now my soul is like, even with the family, you have to put boundaries. And I'm in that path now.
Yes, right. That's very good because, yeah, because especially family can really trigger you emotionally. But anger is usually in its pure form is just a sign that you need a boundary, that you need to put a boundary. That's all. And so by allowing yourself to feel it, you know that there's a need for a boundary there.
Yeah, you just don't want to do the work because it's scary and it's too
It's
hard.
scary, yes, it's scary because it touches this wound, the child wound, and but therefore it's also an occasion to heal it. So it's yeah.
Yeah. Thank
Okay.
you, Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Someone else?
Judith or Isabel, would you like to go?
You go, yes, I thank you.
Okay. All right. Yeshua, I don't fully understand the interplay between my creatorship and another person exercising their free will upon me. For example, if I'm the creator and consciously or unconsciously attract another person's hateful rage, it makes it seem that the other person didn't have a choice and that I welcome the hate in order to learn and gain wisdom. So, where and how does my creatorship end and another person's free will begin?
You have a free choice in how to respond to anger or hate. You can choose to be triggered by it. There is a moment of choice there. Or you can choose to let it go and just see it as an unconscious response of the other person. And but on a deeper level, of course, you can ask, why do I attract such a reaction at all? Why does it cross my path? And if you know, want to know the answer to this, you could ask, imagine that this person who is hateful to me, imagine that he or she's a part of me. What part of me would this be? What part of me would feel such hate or resentment? And if you would recognize this part, then you could start sending awareness. Could become aware of it and send healing to it. Is that clear so far?
Yes, so in a way, I'm creating the hate in the other in my reality. True?
Well, no, you're not. The hate is already inside the other person. You do not create hate in someone else. But you, there are people who are get, for example, get angry easily because there's already a lot of anger inside them. They only need small trigger to get angry or hateful. So it's not that you create this inside them, but you it if you happen to meet such people often, then you could think of why does it happen to me frequently? I mean, is this the case for you? Do you feel that you are attracting this to you? Or is it more like a purely philosophical
That was
question?
just an example. I'm attracting certain situations of bullying, neighbors that bully me, or loud kids in a hotel resort where the kids could trigger me because they're so loud and obnoxious. So, in essence, am I creating the obnoxious kids? Am I creating the bullying neighbors? Am I creating the hateful rage at the grocery store from the other?
Okay, so what I would like to tell you is that there is this goes back to what to a past life. It's actually not one past life, but I'm now focusing on this one. There was a past life in which you were a clairvoyant, so you were psychic. You had the ability to, and you also had some healing abilities. So you were able to tune into other people's energy fields, also illness, all kinds of problems. You were a medium, and it came to you very naturally, and you had this, it was strong inside you. You were also a man in that life. And so people, and it was more like a small community in nature, something not modern. And then you were a kind of healer, or what we now call reader, energy reader. And many people came to you, and even people started to, some people even started to really look up to you and worship you because you had really keen insights into what was going on with them. And but then there was some people in this community who started to feel very hostile towards you because they thought that people listened to him more than to us. So these were people who were in charge there, and so they started to wanted to get rid of you, start to make plans to kind of talk bad about you, or they wanted to get you out, to remove you from there. And they started to spread like evil rumors about you, and also started to, it seems like they wanted to poison you. And although you were aware of something happening against you were very passionate about your work, and didn't want to stop doing it. And at some point you were dying, you were poisoned. And when you were dying, you could see it, like with your third eye. Psychically, you could see what you suddenly knew who was doing this. And it made you sad, but also angry, very angry, because it was not just that your life was threatened, but also the help that you would give to other people. It was really very genuine, good advice that you gave to people, that this would end when they killed you. And so there was really rage inside you when you died, and this rage didn't end when you died. You took it with you to the other side, and somehow it still wants to be resolved. So there's now in your current life this rage can trigger events that, like the ones you mention, that somehow show you that there's something unresolved, because there's in that lifetime there was hate coming to you. They started with it, but it also ended with you hating them. So this strong emotional dynamics is somehow not resolved yet, and shows itself in this life with these incidents. Is that, can you relate with, do you understand?
I can, Yeshua. My main question is, how do I release all of this? What's the number one thing I could do?
Yeah, so the point
Because
is
I'm
that,
exhausted. I understand all of this. I'm just exhausted at this point.
yeah, right. So the point is that you need to look to tune into the rage that is in you. You cannot change other people, so they are, that's out of your hand. But if you would let go of that rage, then you would also attract these incidents much less. So Can you do this right now? Can you feel this part of yourself that who died in the other life as a healer and who felt very angry about what they did to you?
Yes.
Okay, so can you see him? Can you feel him?
Yes.
Okay, good. And ask him now, do you want to stay angry?
No, he's tired and wants to let it go.
Okay. Yeah, it's very exhausting. So ask him what would help you to let it go.
Writing a letter, even if it has to be even if it can't be, just writing a letter expressing the true feelings of the other and then putting that in a river and what and letting the water take it away and let it go.
Yeah. So you this letter would contain your feelings. You would describe your feelings about what you felt? Is that what you mean?
Yes, and where you don't hold back.
Right. Yeah. So, but what you also need to understand is that these people who killed you in that life, they may not be ready for understanding your feelings. So, what's most important is that this angry, wounded healer, that he is understood by you, that you understand him.
Okay.
Because he's very much in need of being seen and understood.
And that's one of my biggest issues is not being seen and understood with many people that I encounter.
Right.
I'm frequently ignored.
Yeah. So, but don't look at your, and in that life, your ad adversaries to be understood. The ones who hurt you, don't count on their understanding. It's nice if they do, but it's not the key. Don't depend on their response. So you need to see this angry, wounded man as a part of you, but it's not all of you. So there is this deep divine essence in you who's able to reach out to him and tell him, I completely understand you. I see what you did in that life, which was courageous, which you really stood out. You reached out to other people with no ego. You were really there for them and helping them in powerful ways, so powerful that the authorities turned against you. And so I understand, I admire your courage and that you allowed your soul's energy to flow out so freely. And I also understand your response of sadness and shock and anger. So if you truly tell him this and make him feel understood, then so you could also write a letter to him. So, and yes, you're saying this rage, which is still inside him, it's a part of you, is keeping you isolated. Because when you are in such a rage, your conclusion will be, I cannot trust other people. It's best to stay away from them. You know? But
Right.
that closes the door to also to people who do understand and appreciate you.
And it closes the door to wonderful opportunities, yes.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so it's like part of your soul has become frozen into this traumatic experience, but you absolutely have the power to release him. I'm sure that's also one of your goals in this life to do so, and that then you maybe also feel more safe to express these gifts, because you are working as a medium, you said, or
Yes.
yeah. Feels like you would feel it would be more joyful and powerful.
There's more to unlock and discover, so
Yeah.
I think to open that up, there needs to be some additional healing. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, Yeshua.
You're welcome. Hey, who's next?
I'll go. So I have a question about loss. In the first question, somewhere I said that I don't even like people. I don't mean it that bad, but I am a true animal person. And I've lost many animals over the past few years. My horse for 22 years that I brought to Montana, she died suddenly. I have rescued some horses that died or had to be put down. I lost my the heart dog, is how we say it, like the best dog of your life. She died over Christmas, and I noticed that every time a little bit of me dies with them. When we talk about survival strategies, part of me many times when things get rough would actually be just to sit with the dog, because then everything's okay, everything's good. There's unconditional love, and that's something you don't get from people and difficult to get from yourself, but a dog will give it to you. And I noticed that I'm hesitant, for example, adopting another rescue horse, and there are many horses that need a home. I've also been looking for a dog, and something in me is blocking something because I've not been able to find a dog while the shelters are full. So I'm like, something is really going on here. And then I'm now being thrown more into my own self because the comfort of a dog is gone. And then what do I do? And now I'm left with myself. I cannot comfort myself when things are rough. So the question is about loss, and let's keep it, let's leave it here.
Yeah, so first of all your animals are still with you. They're still connected with you, and animals, they cross over, in general, cross over to the other side much more easily. They're not so much burdened with all kinds of emotional issues. So their love is very pure and they didn't leave you. So this is the first thing you need to know. And they appreciate so much the love and friendship and kindness you shared with them. So you are really on the brink of something new. in your life. And there's a kind of paradox there. You are invited and challenged also to stand alone, meaning like really trust yourself and firmly walk your own path. So be, embrace independence and autonomy. And this, it may seem that this makes you lonely, but it's instead it's the other way around. If you embrace your independence, then somehow there will be always be people or animals around you whom it's joyful to connect with. But it's not like you completely depend on them, but they are j there in a joyful way. So in all these experiences of loss, somehow want to push you and or challenge you to embrace this inner strength and independence. And it's very mourning the loss of an animal is very painful, but it should be it is more uncomplicated than with a human being because there's a very very pure connection there with them. And your question is tied in with your first question. If you take steps now to release the past, also this the ambiguous connection with Steve, and truly claim your freedom and independence, then also animals may cross your path again, but the connection with them will be a bit more free, like you are connected with them, but you don't it's not like you merge so strongly with them that you need them to feel peaceful, for example. It's because it will become more like you will become more like independent beings, and it's wonderful to hang out together, but you can also be at ease just with yourself, and you will even need it because often people who really are looking so much for a deep connection with someone else, they underestimate how much they need also to be by themselves to truly feel their own energy field and become really centered and grounded and be away from other beings, even animals. And so first to claim your own space and then from there to build, to create connections with others. This is your path. And you're really almost there. It's just you're it's like you're crossing a bridge. You're a bit insecure, but your life is kind of really pushing you or inviting you to take this step. Is that clear to you?
Yeah, I was guessing something like that. I thought there must be a reason that I have to do, like, I would call my dog my emotional support animal. I need to become my own emotional support person. And
Yeah.
when I got that, then I can have a dog as a companion.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So there's a kind of parallel with the connection with Steve, right? This yeah. Okay, yeah. Is it this clearly is it enough of an answer?
It's been hard, but I knew there was a reason behind it. Like, must be a reason. I'm just still by myself that way. I mean, there's horses in the field, but the dog was different.
Yeah.
And the what The word independent. What would Yeshua, could he explain how that would feel like for me?
Yeah. So, yeah, concentrate on your legs and feet for a moment. And I feel like your awareness really goes down into your feet and into the earth. And feel that you have a strong connection with your soul. It's like this cosmic connection going up, not out into the world to other people, but really directly with the divine part of you. It's a very lively connection. When you are connected like this, you cannot feel alone. You feel creative. You feel there's vitality, there's energy there. You feel alive. Can you feel this? And you feel it also when you work with the flower essences? Right. So this flow, he says that this is independence. How do you recognize it? You feel the joy, you feel empowered, you don't feel that you depend on anyone's specific reactions to you or what they may think of you or when they will they be there for me. So you feel really self-aware and confident. Confidence is like you feel that whatever happens, you will receive some kind of sign or knowledge or guidance from the inside, from this channel up. There will be a way out. There will be something new, something fulfilling, something powerful. So this trust and confidence go together with independence. Yeah.
And I feel that connection has been for me has been forgotten over the last 6 to 12 months, focused too much out there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I felt that need and that urge to self-care and that longing is there, and I'll definitely
Yeah.
take more time for that.
Right. Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Isabel.
Yeah. I have my question, but it's beautiful because it's like David said, I feel all the questions and answers are so related to my own path. So I'm so grateful. And when you explained to me in the first question and now to Judith and all of us, it's like our connection with our soul is something we should be more aware of, like that connection with the world. Oh, I have been seeing the cross of Jesus Christ in a different way lately, and I feel it's so connected to the answer to my first question and now to the answer to Judith and all of us, because I was raised Catholic, so I always kind of saw the cross in a suffering way. And lately, I have been connected to the cross in a different way, and I felt like this is trying to tell me something. So I feel that is one of the main messages, because I feel that the long vertical part of the cross is something I want to be more aware of. So, and I will start doing what he told me, what you told me. So, first of all, I wanted to acknowledge that and thank that to Yeshua, because It's so beautiful, both the answer and also he was trying to tell me that when I saw the cross, and I'm so touched by kind of finally acknowledging that. So it was so beautiful. And my second question is very practical, which is so weird to me to ask a practical question in this. And I went to my doctor. I never go to a doctor. I went to my doctor last month, and she said you should go to a primary doctor to ask for your thyroid. She felt something here. So my question is concrete, but at the same time, I felt so scared of to find something, and I realized I'm always so scared to be sick. It's a big fear. It's not something small. Even to get a cold, I barely get a cold. I'm pretty healthy, thanks God, but there is a huge fear there. So that is something I want to ask. And also, if I have something.
Okay. So what do you fear the most about being ill?
Like the lack of the weakness that I can't, maybe the lack of control.
Yeah, right. So it's not fear of death, fear of lack of control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so there's something there which actually relates to your whole process. In a way, you need to release control more. So this is not about it's not about your physical health. This fear you have is a general fear about letting go of control. And trusting. And so when you let go more of control, you get more access to your higher feminine energy. And this higher feminine energy contains your intuition, and your intuition can guide you also when it comes to matters of health, like see a doctor or not, these kind of things. Right now, the urge to control, which is born from fear, kind of blocks you from receiving this feminine intuition. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Yeshua doesn't want to say anything about your health because he feels it's not the main issue. But the main issue is this control thing. And he says, there is a do you feel connected with a particular higher feminine energy?
Mary Magdalene.
Yeah. Because there's because there she there is this higher feminine energy is directly be I see it behind you, like it wants to come through you, like through like literally throat and mouth, like speaking and be expressed through you, but there is a fear to allow it because and this is related also to past life pain. Just a moment. There was a past life in which you were also female and you were a kind of priestess or part of spiritual community in which the women were trained to be to what we now call channel or speak or receive messages. And so there I see a like a circle of women and who are received this training from a kind of priestess who's in charge. But you are a very powerful channel and you cannot stop it. When you get into this flow, you kind of just speak and there's you there's there you won't hold it in. And so in a way it's so powerful that this teacher, this priestess teacher, she's doesn't feel at ease with it because she feels you are more powerful than she is. In a sense, you are more genuine, you're more authentic. And so she tries to kind of isolate you or, well, yeah, like punish you and tell you that you have to be control yourself more, be more disciplined, listen to the, because there are rules in this community. It's not like very free. It's like there are certain, like with almost all spiritual communities, there's certain ideologies, some rules and dogmas. And so then you start to feel bad about yourself because you believe her. You are you are a bit naive in the sense that you think, well, she must be right, she's in charge. And so you start to distrust your own abilities to the point that you suppress them. There's really something going on there. It's something that happened also in later within the Christian churches, like the people who were genuinely psychic and receiving messages, that they were made to feel bad about themselves, like they were the devil was speaking to them, that they were not pure or possessed. Like these things were told to you, and you started to become afraid of this ability to channel. And so I see one image of you when you are there in this in a room by yourself in this community, and you are really depressed because you keep feeling this fire inside you, that you this fire that connects you with the higher energy, this channeling fire, but you feel so that you really believe that you cannot trust it, and that and but if you push it aside, you feel without, you feel not alive anymore. You feel like suppressing your own essence. And so Yesh was saying it's really important to go back to this life, and maybe you can feel it now, and to help this woman who is a part of you. She's a part of you. And tell her that she was pure and really in touch with a higher frequency, and that she needs to be aware that in this community, which was that there were some really lower energies at work. And to you can tell her that she can leave, that she can get out of there, this the and let go of all these judgments that were projected on her. Can you feel this?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what are you feeling right now?
You know, I saw this circle, and me in there, and also me kind of trying to disappear in there, but I felt that kind of a big force kind of keeping me there, something inside me, like you can't leave, because if you leave, you don't belong
Yeah,
to
right.
this world or whatever. But when Joshua told me invite her to leave, Such a huge relief, and I see her living, kind of walking, like walking out of the circle. And as I walk away from the circle, I feel so light and easy and free.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can feel it too. Yeah.
Yeah, and free. Yeah. It's,
Because you do not belong there. You didn't belong there at all.
yeah. Wait, it's so beautiful. Thank
Yeah.
you. Being free is beautiful.
Because I and then maybe you can start to feel Mary Magdalene. She was also kind of forbidden,
Yeah.
forbidden female.
Yeah.
And I really strongly feel from Yeshua that if you start channeling yourself, you know, Mary Magdalene or yeah, whatever wants to come through, that it would be you would really feel yourself again, like really remember yourself. It's my experience with also in past life that we get really we go to spiritual communities because we feel different and we think that we are will be recognized there by
Yeah.
but often these communities themselves are very corrupted because they are just like worldly institutions. They are ruled by certain authorities, there's power issues, and so this can be very confusing.
In fact, I have a huge thing with rules and laws. I because I follow them, but when I moved to the US, I felt in jail because there are many rules and things you have to be polite and many things in my country probably too, but I was born there, so I used to. But here I fell in jail at the beginning, and I always said too many rules here, but I followed them. That's my problem. I just follow them,
Yeah.
and to yes. Oh, it so this opened a huge thing to me because I understand why I tend to do that. So
Okay.
it's amazing. Yeah,
Okay,
it's
great.
a
Yeah,
huge,
I could
huge
see it too. It's
yeah.
wonderful.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's amazing. Yes, and related to what this life, because I, as you said, yes, it happens to me in the spiritual groups. I was in a group with a Chilean channel. And it's when you were talking to me about that life, I felt my experience with this Chilean channel and this group in this life was so similar to that experience. I finally had the courage to leave in this life. But it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. And I don't know if, I don't know, it seems so similar, kind of the same situation, but softer, you know, like.
Yeah. Be careful with groups.
Yes, and it was a huge deal to me to leave because I felt somehow I was living my spiritual life, which I then wasn't true because now after that I feel so much better about my spiritual life.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny that when you look at Yeshua's life, he was very solitary. I mean, there were these followers, his disciples, but they ended up also quarreling and fighting. But he was very like individual, and this whole idea of the church, it was not invented by him, right?
Yeah.
It became a very corrupted organization.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay. So I'm glad you found a way out.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yes, thank you. Oh, it's such a relief. It's amazing. I feel wow. Thank you, thank you.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank all of you for sharing your questions, which are, yes, they are personal, and at the same time they touch all these universal issues that we're all dealing with. And so I will send the recording to you, and we'll end the session now.
Thank you, Pamela.
I hope you will get some sleep later today.
We'll be fine.
It's great. It
Thank
doesn't
you.
matter now. Okay. Goodbye
Bye.
then to you all.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank
Thank you,
you.
Pamela. Thank you,
Thank
Joshua.
you.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
you. Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Love to everyone. Bye
Bye
bye.
bye. Bye
Love
bye.
you. Love you, Joshua. Love you, Pamela.
Thank you.